I'm good. I am good. The scripture is clear. So the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Shakespeare said, I think, therefore I am. It is important that we look into this declaration deeper. The power of not just my thought, but the power of the divine thought concerning me. You can take it from the very beginning when the counsel of God said, let us make men in our image and likeness, you're good. The thought that proceeded out of the thought and the idea that proceeded from the divine counsel's mind and to the birth of a divine idea. And that idea is you are good. That's why God gives instruction to think on these things. He said in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, my brethren, think on these things that are true. Whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, glory to God. If there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. That's found in Philippians 4:8. And I'll say it again. He said, I need you to concentrate on these things. Because when you became a new creature, whatever you think about now should change. And you should, your thinking got to change. And you should think whatever things are true, whatever things that are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, whatever, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. This is where we find the conversation tonight of the Shuhamite woman. She has been talked about in every conference I have been to. She has been talked about. She is a very popular woman of the Bible, this Shunammite woman who had her gift interrupted by a crucial circumstance. Her gift was given to her after she decided to build the man, to invest in the man of God. She decided to invest in the man of God Elijah, a place to stay at her estate. So he would not have to travel back and forth, and he would have a place to refresh himself, a place to recover, a place to pray. And she has made him an upper chamber on the wall outside of her estate. There is a room, and she said, let us make a chamber for the man of God. Let us invest in the man of God, I pray thee. She said, let's put him outside the house. I don't even want him in the house. I want him outside the house. I want to give him something separate. I want to set him something separate apart. Jesus. And she said, let us set a bed in there, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be prepared for him. I'm going to prepare for him a place for the anointing to dwell. Jesus. She, unbeknownst to herself, was setting herself up for a prophetic manifestation because she began to make a place where the anointing could dwell. Jesus, can I ask you, are you preparing a place for the anointing to dwell? Are you setting aside a place for he can pour into you? And not only did she place in, she gave, not only did she make a room for him, a chamber for him. Look, the Bible says she made a chamber for the man of God. She decided, look, I'm not just going to build you any old thing. I'm going to build something that's worthy of the anointing. Glory to God. In your life, you have set yourself aside for something worthy of the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance. So everybody has a level of anointing. But is your anointing, are you highly anointed or are you just anointed? But the Shuhamite woman said, I'm going to set a chamber outside of my house, outside of my estate. Because this woman is said to be very well-to-do. She was well in the community. She was very, very well-to-do. But she decided, I want to invest in the anointing. I want to invest in the anointed vessel. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to prepare a place for the anointing to dwell. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you and I got to start preparing a place for the anointing to dwell. When you and I start asking God for things, we got to prepare a place for it to come to. Because if you don't start, notice this. If you start asking God for stuff, he start giving it to you, giving it to you, giving it to you. Where are you going to put it? My wife oftentimes fussing me about my shoes and fussing me about the things I have in my room. She said, are you hoarding, son? And I'd be like, what do you mean? She said, them shirts you've been having all that time. You keep ordering more and more and more and more and more and more shirts, and you ain't through the stuff you got out before. She said, make room for the new. And I said, who are you fussing at? She said, baby, I'm just trying to get you to receive. Pastor is just trying to get you to receive today. Are you making room for the stuff you ask God for? Because if you start making room for the stuff you ask God for, maybe that's why God has not sent it as of yet, because you don't have room enough to receive it. But have you decided to make out room to receive it? If I was you, I'd go start clearing. Say to myself, God, I'm clearing stuff out so I can make room for you. I need to make room for you. All of my creative members and creative saints, you need to make room for God to give you a download that can be the download of your life. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to give you the download of your life. And the Shulamite woman, she said, I'm going to make room to invest in the anointing. Are you investing in your anointing? Are you investing in your anointing? Because when you're investing, you are good. Because when you start investing, glory to God. That's why I noticed that you cannot live just on what you have. You must take time to invest something to get something out for a longer gain. It's the investment of life that produces for a future. And are you investing to produce for a future? So the Shulamite woman here in the text, and I'm trying to stay here, but I feel the anointing pushing me. Hallelujah. She was investing in a future. She did not know, unbeknownst to her, she was setting aside in her house, in her estate, room for the anointing to dwell, for the man of God to dwell, for the word of God to dwell. She was making room for it. And while she was making room, the man of God, Elijah, you know who Elijah was. He was just, while she was making room, being kind to Elijah. This man, the prophet of God, this prophet Elijah was the mentor of Elijah. He threw everything away. He wanted the anointing and the double portion of his mentor Elijah. He went out to the field, minding his own business, when a man came up to him and threw his cloak over his shoulders. But he not only did that, he burnt his equipment. He destroyed the possibility of returning to his old life he once lived. The scripture said that he killed the oxen and he burned the cart and he cooked the meat and he gave it away. Why? Because I'm going to invest, hallelujah, into the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about Elijah. Elijah said, when the prophet Elijah came to him and said, God has need of thee. What he did, he wanted what God had so much for him that Elijah decided, I'm going to take my cart, I'm going to take my oxen, and I'm going to kill my oxen. I'm going to then take the cart and make wood, make a fire of it, and I'm going to burn the oxen on the fire. I'm going to cook the meat, and then I'm going to get away to the townspeople because I don't want to come back to the life I'm given. I'm investing everything I have into this anointing. I'm investing everything I have into this anointing. The Shulamite woman who was not of the house of Israel. She was not one of the, oh my God, this is what I love about God. She was not of the one that was called. She was not of the one that was chosen. She just decided, I see something in you. Because I see something in you, I want to invest in you. Can I tell you, this thing moved me? Because God is going to unlock some people in your life to come invest in you. They don't even got to know you. They're not going to even be a part of the house of what you believe in. But because they believe in you, because they believe in the God in you, they're going to invest in you. And they're going to say, I want to support your gift. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm going to invest in your gift. The Bible says that she entreated the man of God. She wanted to invest in his anointing. So the prophet called her and said, hey, how can I repay your kindness? She said, you don't got to repay my kindness. I'm good. I love that. All I need, I have, and I'm content. He asked her, if I take your name to the kings, or if I take your name to great places, would that, would, would, Do you want fame? Do you want notice? Do you want to put your name on my social media network? Do you want me to pass your card out? Do you want me to help you in any way, shape, or form? She said, no, man of God, I'm good. I'm good. I'm content and I'm happy. But when you invest in the anointing will give you a return right away. When you invest in the anointing will give you a return right away. So she told the man of God said, I'll tell you what I do. His prophet, his servant came and said, hey, Gehazi said, she doesn't have a son. She don't have a son. So the servant told her, I need you to come and sit in the middle of the door. Glory to God, like this. She told him to come and sit in the door. And while he was sitting in the door, while he was sitting in the door, he spoke a word to her life. Can I tell you, doors will allow you, oh my God. The man of God told her, stand in the door. While she stood in the door, he spoke a word in her life that would change her life forever. Doors will change your life forever. Doors will change your life forever. I'm praying for you right now. I'm speaking prophetically to everybody online. Lord, give you that door that will change your life forever. I'll say it again. Doors will change your life forever. Because the Bible says that I'll make room. He said, your gift shall make room for you. What is a room? A room has a door, an entranceway. And God says your gift will make in other words, the investment of your gift is going to make room for you. But when you get in the room, what do you have besides your gift? Most folks go in the room with a gift. But what do you have besides your gift? Because what happens when your gift decides not to show up that day? What happens when the anointing dips a little bit? What happens when you get in, when you and somebody get to an argument and then you try to get on the instrument and play and it says, duh? What happens when your anointing is not like that today? What do? You need a call. Because I can't escape my call. I may can escape my gift, but I cannot escape my call. Many try to run from their call. But what God is trying to do is to get your gift and your call on the same level, on the same playing field. And when your gift and call is on the same level, the same playing field, now you become effective. It's only when your gift and your call, because some people are just gifted, but they don't, oh my God, they're in love with their gift, but they have no integrity. They have no character. They have no Jesus, God Almighty. What happens? Because I know a lot of folks is anointed. But what happens behind the anointing? What happens behind your gift? But here, the Shulamite woman asked him. The man of God said, stand in the door. He says, and this time next year, I'm going to give you a reward for your investment in me. Well, now we find ourselves in the text. When her promise of future that God had gave her was in a crisis. The child that God had gave her was in a field. And while he was in a field, he caught a headache. And he began to say, my head. And when the child said, my head, he fell down on the ground. And when he fell on the ground, the servant picked the child up and took it to the mother. And when he took the mother to the Shulamite woman, she began to hold him until he passed. Now notice this. What happens when your gift that God gives you, the gift you didn't even ask for, but God said, I'm going to give it to you just because of the level of your investment. One thing about God, God is always looking to invest. Because God knows how to get, oh my God, God knows how to get a dividend out of his investment. That's why everything in your life will be glory to him. He said he will get the glory, what? Out of your life. He said all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because he will get the glory out of your life. He will get his investment out of your life. That's why when things happen in your life, you got to say, you know what? I'm good. When things happen in your life that you don't like, I'm good. And so she found her son, but what happened is she recognized, I know where the level of anointing is in this house. I built a chamber outside. My son has died and he's sick, but I'm not going to pronounce death even on him. While she was holding her baby in her arms, she said, know what I'm going to go up in the upper room. I'm going to go to the chamber where the anointing is. I'm going to go to the place, Jesus, where prayer and sanctification is. And the Bible says she took him upstairs, her son that was dead, but she didn't see it. Her son that was dead, the investment that had found, oh my God, the investment of her life had crashed. She took the investment to the upper room and laid her investment on the bed. And she went down and told her husband, honey, I need to borrow the fastest donkey we got. He said, baby, what's up? You okay? Everything all how our son doing? She said, oh, I'm good. How he doing? Oh, he good. He said, baby, so why do you need the donkey? Don't you get mad? People ask you on the question, you trying to get someplace. Don't you get mad? I bet, and you know she'd have been a sister because she'd probably said, bruh, I got to go. She got the donkey, got on the donkey, rolled down as fast as she can. Now, you know a donkey don't move fast. So she had to be beating that joker to get him to move fast. So the donkey got there, but the prophet saw the dust coming because he was sitting on Mount Carmel. Uh-oh, Jesus. He was sitting on Mount Carmel, praying and investing in his life in Mount Carmel. So when she got there, his servant said, why you sweating like that? Why are you running like that? Why are you going so fast? Is everything good? She said, oh, I'm all good. He said, are you sure? She said, I'm all good. But when she saw the prophet, the man of God, the Bible says she jumped off her donkey and she grabbed him by the feet and held on to him and said, prophet, man of God, anointing my son. Notice that, the order of things. His servant stopped him first and said, what's wrong? And she said, know what? You can't help me. I'm good. Sometimes you got to tell people who try to help you, I'm good. Because they can't help you at all. Sometimes we ask people to help us and they can't help us. Either they mean good, you got to say, you know what, baby? Thank you. I'm good. Sometime in life, when somebody want to get in your business, you got to say, you know what? I'm good. When somebody wants to drag you into a conversation that you shouldn't want to be dragged into, you want to say, you know what? I'm good. Because the Bible says, think on these things. The Bible says, if it's praiseworthy, if it's giving God glory, if it's magnifying God, if it's praiseworthy, Jesus. So she couldn't tell him something that was praiseworthy. She went and she got to the man of God. And when she got to the man of God, she fell on his feet. And when she fell on his feet, this happened. He told the servant, take my staff and go put it on the son. Go put it on the baby. The servant went and tried, but nothing happened. The story in the Bible says that there was a man who had whose son was perplexed and he had a demon in him. And when the disciple went to him, he fell on the ground, started acting up and started kicking and stuff. But it wasn't until Jesus came, Jesus said, let him go. Demon come out of him, you unclean spirit. And it came out. So Gehazi said, I saw the son. I laid your staff on him, and nothing happened. Elijah said, well, I'm going to go and look at the investment in which God had given to you. My brothers and sisters, God is looking. Jesus, God Almighty, you need a man of God in your life, a true man of God, a proven prophetic voice. If you don't have a proven prophetic voice in your life, Jesus, a proof of a voice. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? Now, I love the internet. I'm glad God have us here. And I want us to reach as many as we can. But I can't wait till we get into the church house. Why? Because you and I, my wife, you and I, and the atmosphere of God which you breathe, you need to be around that atmosphere. You need to be around the glory of God. You need to be around the anointing of God. You need to be around the fixture of God. Why? Because it breathes something in you. You will know that if I get to church, I'll be all good. If I can just get to the altar, I'll be all good. There was a time back in the day when church would never close. They didn't worry about folks stealing from the church. Because the people would know, if you go in here, the glory of God is around this altar. Nobody would dare steal back then from the church. Why? They understood that the glory of God is everywhere. And because when the glory of God is everywhere, you don't, oh my God, you don't even think about stealing. All you want to do is get around the glory. Because if I can just get around the glory, what's inside of me would not even allow me to. The devil would not recognize the power of the living God. See, people be fooling. I'm telling you, this thing about God is real. There's a glory of God that will come in your life so much, you don't even got lots of doors because the enemy will recognize, if I go in there, God's going to beat me there. And he knows he's defeated. My God, I remember when I was a little boy, that you walk in church, you could be drunk as a skunk, but by the time the mother got them hands laying on you and speaking on tongues on you, before you came out of there, you sober. I remember time you walk in church, glory to God, because the anointing is so strong. Are the people of God investing in the anointing? Can I say this? I love church, and I'm not fussing at you, and I got to go. I love church, but are the people of God investing in the anointing of God like they used to? Because there was a time on that when we go to church, my God from on high, my God from on high, you ain't trying to get out of church. Glory to God. You're trying to make sure that I get everything I can. Why? Because I enjoy being around the glory of the Lord. So here in the text, Elijah went to the place where she set it up. Elijah went to the house where the Shulamite woman lived. And in the room that she set up, he walked upstairs. Brothers and sisters, when you are setting something up for God, make it high and lofty, just like he is. Because the Bible says, when the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was lifted what? High and exalted. Can I tell you something else, brothers and sisters? If you lift the Lord higher than you lift these cell phones, if you lift the Lord higher than you lift these cell phones, you'll get the results of what you lift up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto thee. Who is he talking about? Then he said, I will make men give into your bosom. He's talking to you. If you lift him up, he will cause men to bring to you stuff that's shake down, pressing together, and running over. He'll make men give it to you. He says, I have given the wealth to the wicked to give it to the saints. God says, I've given the world wealth to give it to the saints. Why? For I can confound them, because how can the world, they have everything, and then they'll turn around and give it away to you? Because God's trying to show them that he'll prove the doubters wrong. When I read that the other day, I'm going to close because God's sending me all over the place, Jesus. He says, I've given wealth to the wicked so that they can give it to the saint. Because God wants to prove the doubters wrong. And he wants to let you know that you good. I got to get out of here. And so the Shulamite woman saw, Elijah went to the Shulamite woman's room, the upper room. And he began to pray for the child. Because whenever there is an investment in your life, there has to be prayer over the investment. Whenever God has done something for your life, that's why he is the great intercessor. My brothers and my sisters, can I tell you something? That God is all, Jesus is interceding for you. The Bible says he intercedes for you. He prays for you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit make groanings and utterings that cannot be understood. But can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, that you got to know this one thing, that God has an investment and he invested in you. And there's going to come a moment or a time when God's going to come and say, where is my dividend? Because there was a story in the Bible that talks about a fig tree. And God asked the fig tree, where is that fruit? And when God walked past the fig tree and the fig tree understood the language of God, you mean to tell me God can talk the language of the tree? And I said, wait a minute, God can not only talk the language of the tree, he can talk the language of a donkey. Because he told the donkey said, Lord, allow me to speak so I can tell the man that's beating me to if he look ahead of him. And the donkey turned around and said, can you not see the angel of death before you? I know God can speak tree. I know God can speak donkey. And I know God can speak investment to you. That's why God wants to let you know tonight, you are all good, because there's an investment inside of you, and he's coming for his investment. If we was at church right now, I'll tell you, run down the aisle and point to a neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, God's coming for his investment. And so in the text, the Bible says that Elijah got in the bed with the baby. And he laid on top of the baby. He put his eyes on the baby's eyes. He put his mouth on the baby's mouth. He put his hands on the baby's hands. Why? Because there are only ways to identify who you are. You identify who you are by your eye, by the retina of your eye. You identify who you are by the enamel of your teeth. You identify who you are by the handprints in your hands. And so Elijah laid on the baby. He put his eyes on the baby's eyes. He put his mouth on the baby's mouth. He put his hands on the baby's hands. Why did Elijah do that? My brothers and my sisters, as I begin to close this text, I want you to know that when the investment comes, what happens is God must unlock. He must unlock who you are, because it's only, have you ever went to a retina scan? And when the retina scan looks at your eyes, it unlocks the files. When the oh my God, when you put your hand on a hand scan, it unlocks the files. When you take your mouth and you go to a dentist and they put your mouth in there and they look at your enamel, it unlocks the files. And so what happened is that when Elijah was laying on that baby, it began to unlock the files of the baby's life. And the baby's life was an investment from God. And because the baby's life was an investment from God, God said, what goes up now must come down. And what goes down now must come up. And so what Elijah did while he laid on the baby, Elijah began to put the anointing on a dead thing. And it reminds me, hallelujah, of when you put anointing on a dead thing, the Bible says it quickened back to life. And so when Elijah, after he laid on the baby and the baby got life again, Elijah said, mama, go meet your son. Son, go meet your mama. This reminds me of the Bible when it says when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Jesus said, hey, James, do me a favor. I got to get out of here. But while I'm getting out of here, I got to invest in you what God invested in me. He said, mother, there goes your son. Son, there goes your mother. And then Jesus said, it is finished. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, while I'm going through this life on my own, while I'm going through this trial and tribulation, while I'm going through my life struggles, I want you to know I'm all good. I'm just an investment. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am an investment. And as long as I can, hallelujah, breathe and walk, walk and talk, clap and leap, leap and dance, I know that God, hallelujah, has an investment inside of me. You want to tell your neighbor, one more time. Neighbor, I'm just an investment and it's all good. Why? Because God is specializes in things impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. You ought to tell your neighbor for the very last time, come hell, high water, I'm good. Sickness, pain, I'm good. Outbreak, outlet, I'm good. Suffering, I'm good. Pain, I'm good. Crisis, I'm good. Why am I good? Because I'm an investment and I am God's inheritance in the earth. You want to tell your neighbor, shake his hand and say, I am God's investment in this earth. And the reason I say, that I'm good, because as long as I am the inheritance of the Most High God, he will take care of me. I gotta go, but before I go, I want to tell you that God will take care of me. You want to tell somebody, you want to tell anybody, God will take care of me. I am the investment. I am the inheritance. I'm good. Yes, I'm good. It may not look like it. I'm good. I may not feel like it. I'm good. I may not act like it. I'm good. I know God will take care of me. I know I may sound like a singer, but I know God will take care of me. How do you know? Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. It was his grace. Yes, it was. Tell your neighbor, God will take care of me. Why? I'm good. Yes, I am. I'm good. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, I am good. I'm so good. I praise his name. I'm so good. I give him glory. I'm so good. I give him thanks. I'm so good. I dance. I'm so good. I give. I'm so good. I trust him. I'm so good. I love him. I'm so good. I thank him. I'm so good. He's good. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor for the very last time, I'm good. I'm good, I'm good, 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 I'm good. Tell your neighbor, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. He's proven the doubters wrong. I'm good. I'm good. And the reason why I'm good, because I am his inheritance in the earth. And if you know your position, if you know who he is, thank you. I'm his inheritance. I'm good. I'm his inheritance in the earth. And I know I'm good. If this message bless you in any way, shape, or form, we're going to give our tithe and our offering. This is a perfect way to show your neighbor and to tell God I'm good and to tell your circumstance I'm good. Because I'm going to give because I'm good. I'm good. Versus this pastor's praying for what God's going to have for us coming in the future. Because I know our next year, even the rest of the year, and our next year is going to be great. is full of so much possibility. It's full of so much possibility, so much faith, so much promise. We said earlier in the year, tell your neighbor, neighbor, I may not got the proof, but I got a promise. I may not got the proof, but I got a promise. And as long as I got a promise, I'm good. As long as I got a promise, I'm good. Why? He's gonna prove the doubters wrong. He's gonna prove the doubters wrong.